I saw the horseman riding this morning. You all remember the Pony Express? The horseman that was riding, and on his side was a message to the church. And he carried the message to the church, and he began to drop the messages off to the churches. The problem that was happening is many of the churches could not read the message. Are y'all hearing this? And the Lord's heart was grieved because they did not have ears to see. Did y'all hear that? They did not have ears to what? See. Because many times people are hearing, but they can't see. That because they don't understand the things of the Spirit. And when I saw the messenger riding on the horse, and the Lord said, the horseman is running. And he's dropping off the messages to the church. Pray that they will have understanding and be able to read my messages. See, there is a place where we've got to come to. And God is bringing his church up to that area. One of the things he wants to do is bring unity in the church. Melt the walls of denominations and non-denominations. Amen. And bring us into the one Spirit that he so sent. But because of so much garbage and so much hindrance where the church has been infiltrated by demonic activity and not even knowing it and even plays witchcraft and doesn't even know it. But in this place, God wants to bring deliverance and healing to his churches. We just came back from hanging around with prophets. And it was very powerful. And I want to share with you that to God be all the glory. What they spoke on is what the Spirit's been telling us here for the last month. And it was a tremendous blessing for us to know that we're in line. Amen. And I want to share with you a message this morning. One of the things that God wants us to do is to cross over. And we are coming to a time and a season. And if you'll turn to Ecclesiastes 3 with me for a moment. How many of y'all know my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge? Amen. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Praise you, Lord. It says, to everything there is a what? There is a season. To everything there is a season. There is a season for harvest, isn't there? Now let me tell you something. God is gathering the harvesters for the harvest. And you are them. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. And it's our responsibility to know the times and seasons. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones, and a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain, a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to sow, a time to keep silent, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. So we know that in everything there is a time and season, and it's our responsibility to understand the times and seasons. And in this, that's why the horseman has been sent out to the churches to bring the message to the church of understanding of what season and what time we are in right now. Amen. Now, again, he who has an ear, let him see. Oh, hallelujah. Would you turn to Exodus 11? Oh, we bless you, Lord. Exodus chapter 11. Now we understand that the word Egypt is a representation of bondage and worldliness. Bondage and worldliness is a representation of Egypt. And in chapter 11 in Exodus, you know, we can see right from the beginning and how the Lord used Moses to bring his people out of bondage. And it says in verse 1, and the Lord said to Moses, I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. Afterward, he will let you go from here. When he lets you go, he will surely drive you out of here altogether. Speak now in the hearing of the people, and let every man ask from his neighbor and every woman from her neighbor articles of silver and articles of gold. So the Lord was telling him, he says, look, before you come out of this bondage, before I remove you from Egypt, I want you to take all the cash. I don't want you to leave here empty-handed. I want you to take silver, gold, everything. Amen? Hallelujah. And the Lord gave the people what? Favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. So the Lord granted them what? Favor. They were crowned with favor. You know why? Because of obedience. How many of y'all want to get a crown of favor? Then you have to be obedient. Then Moses said, thus says the Lord, about midnight I will go out into the midst of the Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the female servant who is behind the handmill, and all the firstborn of all the animals. And of course there will be a great cry. Now, Egypt were worshippers of many gods, and according to worldly standards. Amen. And under the main god, which we call Baal, they called Baal, B-A-A-L, was the main ruler. But he portrays himself in many gods. Does everybody understand this? And by worshiping Baal, it brings them under bondage. Amen. Brings them under what? Bondage. Now, if you'll go to Exodus 12 and read the first six verses with me. So here the Lord is bringing his people out of bondage, isn't he? What's he doing? He's removing them out of the rule of who? Baal. Does everybody understand this? What's he removing them out of? The rule of who? Baal. When you begin to understand who Baal is associated with, it's phenomenal. And so here the Lord is removing them out of Baal and out of bondage. And he says, listen, I want you to make sure you take all the silver and gold. Isn't that what we were talking about before, about penetrating the kingdom of darkness? See, this is the prophetic move right now, as God wants us to penetrate the kingdom of darkness and start taking what's rightfully ours. But there are things that we have to do to get severed from some of these things. And verse 1, it says, the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be your beginning of the months, and it shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of persons, and according to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, and you may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. Now what was he instituting was the first feast. See, so before he even removed them out of Egypt, out of bondage, he already began to explain to them the seven feasts that they were going to obey. See, he already started to implement. He said, okay, this is what we're going to do. The first, we're going to fulfill, we're going to do this first feast, which is called the feast of what? Passover. Amen? The feast of what? Passover. Oh, hallelujah. And he said, you're going to kill it at twilight. Does everybody remember when Jesus was on the cross? Amen? And all of a sudden it became what? Dark. It became twilight when he died. Why? Because he was fulfilling the first feast. Only Jesus can fulfill the first feast, but the Old Testament are things to come. In other words, everything was prophesied, everything was spoken to fulfill the new covenant. Amen. So already the Lord was telling his people, look, at, I'm going to show you and I'm going to teach you about the seven feasts that I want you to fulfill before I even release you from this bondage. Is everybody with me? Before release, the Lord begins to institute the seven feasts as a remembrance and a continual sign to set for a stage of events or times and seasons as a memorial. See, even the seven feasts of the Lord is a representation of time and season. Amen? Because we know Jesus already came and fulfilled the first four feasts, didn't he? The next feast is the Feast of Trumpets. Oh, hallelujah. Go to verse 29. And it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of livestock. So Pharaoh rose in the night, he and all his servants and all of the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Then he called for Moses. You betcha he called for Moses. He sent messengers looking for Moses. If he had a cell phone, he'd been ringing his phone right off the hook. Then he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Rise, go out from among my people, both you and the children of Israel. Go and serve the Lord as you have said. Also take your flocks and your herds, and as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also. But bless me on your way out, okay? You know, my, I just put your people in 430 years of bondage. And bless me on the way out." And the Egyptians urged the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, "We shall all be dead." So the people took their dough before it was leavened, having their kneading bowls bound up in their clothes and on their shoulders. Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they granted them what they requested. Thus they what? Plundered the Egyptians. How did that happen? Because, you know what? They were what? Obedient. Then they were able to what? Plunder the Egyptians. So they were coming out of bondage. The Lord already instituted the seven feasts of the Lord. He said, these are going to be set times and seasons for you. They all agreed. They obeyed. At twilight, they sacrificed the lamb. They were obedient. They put the blood on the lintels of the door. The spirit of death came through and destroyed and killed all the firstborn. And Pharaoh was willing to surrender now. Amen? Praise God. The 10th plague released. Now listen, I want you to understand that the Lord was saying something to Israel here. He was saying, listen, he called all of those who were in captivity under the rule of Baal or Egypt, the armies of Israel. He said, here are the armies of Israel. They didn't look like much of an army. They're all in captivity. But he was bringing the armies of Israel out. Let me tell you, the armies of the Lord come out of captivity. Hello? They come out of captivity and become soldiers of Christ. So the 10th plague released the armies of Israel from the house of bondage for 430 years. Egypt was ruled by Baal, which had many gods. They broke through. They what? They broke through and what? Favor was granted. Ooh, we need to have a breakthrough anointing, you know that, to come out of bondage. And that only helps us to assist our assignments. See, without the breakthrough anointing, we can't complete. Amen? And we'll talk a little bit more about this. Go to Exodus 14. In verse 1. Now we know that, okay, so they came out of Egypt, they're out of bondage, right? They're all carrying all this gold and silver. Everybody was healed. There wasn't any lame there. And the Lord starts bringing them down the path. Okay, let's go this way. Now the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before... Pi Hathroth. Between Migdol and the sea. Now look at this next word. Opposite what? Baal Sephon. You shall camp before it by the sea. Now this is my dad. What is he doing? Every area where you see Baal, you know that they were had altars unto Baal. Okay? So here dad does. He takes them out of the bondage of Egypt. Right? He brings them across, and what does he say? Camp right in front of Baal. I want to show him something. Look at, come on, show him all the gold you got. Show him all the silver you got. Yeah. See, there is nobody sick here. Let me show you who God really is. Amen. And for in verse 3, for Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in. In other words, because the sea was there. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them. And I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all of his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. So they camped in front of the places that worship Baal, didn't they? Now go to verse 9. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, camping by the sea, right where I said. And before Baal Zephon. Then they said to Moses, And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, so they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Here they go. Why have you so dealt with us to bring us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Whoa. Quickly they lost it, didn't they? And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, you boneheads. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. Now Moses was prophesying this right in, wasn't he? But because he was in line with the Lord, what he spoke came to pass. You know why? Because he was able to see. And the Lord will fight for you and shall hold, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to what? Go forward. One thing that needs to be essential in the kingdom of God, there must be a momentum that can't stop. You must continually go forward no matter what. I don't care if you fall, you get up, you shake the dust off, and you keep going. You keep going. You keep going. You don't look back. You keep going. You keep going. Why? Because that's how you get the breakthrough anointing. You get the breakthrough anointing. Yeah, but you don't understand what happened. Man, you need to sever that which you don't understand what happened. I don't care what happened. God doesn't care what happened. It's over and done with. Now get up and get going. Does everybody understand that? And what did he say to them? He says, what? Tell the children of Israel to what? Go forward. Now you got to understand something. They were relying on what they saw. They saw a big sea there, didn't they? Man, where are we going? What do you mean go forward? Just keep walking, man. What? Who are you trusting in? Just keep going. Don't look back. Oh, my God, here they come. We can't go this way. We can't go that way. Oh, God, help us. We should have just stayed and served the Egyptians. They didn't have any graves there. Let's go dig our own and die. No, you need to just die to yourself and go forward. You know, it's amazing in how we quickly lose sight what God has already done. Hello? It's amazing. All of a sudden, yesterday he just healed you, and today you're in bondage. yesterday, you just got an answer, and God answered stuff, and miracles manifested one way or another, or you saw something powerful, you know you got revelation from God, and today you're like, oh my God, I should have just stayed in Egypt. I should have just stayed in jail. At least I got fed three times a day. Who told you that, right? But lift up your rod in verse 16. Stretch out your hand. I mean, even the Lord said to Moses, don't cry to me, man. Tell him to move forward. Let's get going. You know, Moses was like, okay, all right. I've seen this happen already. I've seen you turn the staff into serpents. I've seen all these plagues come upon. I mean, I've heard your voice. A burning bush talked to me. You know, okay, you got my attention. I'm willing to do whatever. He said, okay, have you told everybody move forward? They probably all looked at him. What do you mean, into the water? Just move forward. Shut up and move forward. And the Lord said, okay, Moses, stretch forth your rod. Your hand over the sea and divide it. He told Moses to do it. Do you understand? And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. See, we must maintain momentum without looking back. The breakthrough anointing will allow you to cross over and complete assignments of the Lord. Moses had breakthrough anointing to break. Now, you look at something. I'm going to do a little skipping around because there's so much, but I'm going to try and condense this. When the Lord rescued Moses, how long was he in the wilderness? 40 years. That's a life cycle. 40 years is considered a life cycle. We used to call it a generation at some time, but we've done teachings on this. It's a life cycle. How long was Jesus in the wilderness? 40 days, praise God. See, Jesus only had to do 40 days what Moses had to do for what? 40 years. Thank you, Lord. Those are life cycles. Amen? So Moses was breaking the life cycle. Look at Moses was what? He was a servant in Egypt, wasn't he? He was an assistant head honcho. And the Lord took him out of Egypt. And what did he do? He placed him 40 years. So what? Get rid of all of the old cycle. And he gave him what? New life. Amen? And that's one of the things that we're going to do today is break some of these cycles off of our life. Our old cycles that have been brought back before us. So Moses had a breakthrough anointing to break the 40-year cycle of his life that his ancestors messed up. And brought them in bondage and came to him to break it off by completing his assignment. Remember, the seven feasts of the Lord were a form of covenant. Amen? They were not only times and seasons, but they were a form of covenant with the Lord. Amen? It was a sign for them. And in covenant, there is a marriage, isn't there? Does everybody understand that? When you're in covenant, there is a marriage. But the thing is the children of Israel were in covenant with the Lord. But when they began to worship and build altars of Baal, they divorced the Lord and broke that covenant marriage with the Lord and brought a covenant marriage with Baal. Remember, we've been talking about breaking agreements. Amen? And I think it was on a Friday night, also one of the nights that the Lord said, listen, break these agreements. And that's because we come in covenant and when we come married to demonic forces and don't even realize it when we come in agreement. Even with thoughts, you can come in agreement with the voice of the stranger. Amen? Go to Deuteronomy 15. Would you read with me verse 1? Is everybody there? At the end of what? Every 7 years you shall grant a release of what? What's debts do? Brings you in bondage, doesn't it? Amen? So at the every 7 years you shall release debts. In fact, the Bible even tells us through God's order is that we're to let a piece of land rest for 7 years after they grew, you know, used it for planting so it can replenish in itself. But because, you know, they don't do that anymore. That's why much of our food and stuff is nutrients are not up to par. Amen. They use chemicals and all kinds of stuff to try to produce because they're after, they serve Baal for money. Amen. So in this, the Lord says, listen, every 7 years you shall grant a release of debts. And this is a form of the release. Every creditor who has lent anything to his neighbor shall release it. He shall not require it of his neighbor or of his brother because it is called the Lord's release. How many of y'all want the Lord's release? Amen. Of a foreigner you may require it, but you shall give up your claim to what is owned by your brother, except when there may be no poor among you. For the Lord will greatly bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess as an inheritance. Only if you what? Carefully obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe with care all these commandments which I command you today. So we know that there is a release. What year are we in? 2007. Do you know that there will never be another 777? That you and I are living of 777. The next 77 will be another 1,000 years, won't it? Amen? We don't have 1,000 years left, I can tell you that. No way. But do you understand that you and I are alive right now for this? 777. You're here. We're alive in this time and season, specifically preordained before the creation. He chose us to be alive at this time. Think about how people didn't make it. 777. For the Lord your God, in verse 6, will bless you just as he promised you. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. You shall reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over you. Every 7 years, God grants a release and a blessing if we what? Obey. It is known as the year of completion. And from the year 2000 to now, we've actually been in a 7-year famine because of the marriage of Baal. How many of y'all, especially in this country, right? How many of y'all, I know some of us haven't been believing for the last 7 years, but those who've been believing for the last 7 years, it's been like hell on earth, man. It's been like a famine. Amen? It's been like a famine. I mean, even the men and women of God, you talk to them and they've been, man, it's been a struggle. It's been a fight. It's been rough. Why? Because there's been a famine in the last 7 years because of the marriage of Baal in this country. Of course, we need to repent for this country's sins and divorce Baal and be remarried to the Lord. Amen. Now, spiritually, the year for us is September. Amen. So we got till September to get it together. Now listen, if the cycle's not broken by September, they'll be caught up for another 40 years. Are you hearing me? That's why you're here right now. If it's not broke, they'll be caught up for another 40. You have to wait for another 40 years for that life cycle to change. Why? Because it's a time and season that God has sent. He establishes them. How many want to be in bondage for another 40 more years? I don't see any hands. What's up? Praise God. So that means we have to break this cycle. We have to repent for all the things that have been associated. That's why when people come into this ministry, we give them deliverance prayers and daily confessions and so forth. Why? So they can begin to make that confession to break certain things. But there are still certain things that are recycling in you now that need to be broke. If not, you'll be in bondage to that. Is everybody with me? Amen? Hallelujah. Now, go to Judges 6. Oh, are you getting this? Yeah. Judges 6, in verse 25. Now it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old and tear down the altar of who? Baal, that your father has, and cut down the wooden image that is beside it. And build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this rock in proper arrangement, and take the second bull and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the image which you shall cut down. So Gideon took 10 men from among his servants and did as the Lord had said to him. But because he feared his father's household and the men of the city too much to do it by day, he did it by night. Has everybody got it? And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, there was the altar of Baal torn down, and the wooden image that was beside it was cut down, and a second bull was being offered on the altar which had been built. So we know that Gideon was, the Lord told Gideon to bust down this altar of Baal, didn't he? So they said to one another, who has done this thing? And when they had inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joaz, has done this thing. Then the men of the city said to Joaz, bring out your son that he may what? Die. They were going to kill him. What? Because he has torn down the altar of Baal, and because he has cut down the wooden image that was beside it. But Joaz said to all who stood against him, would you plead for Baal? Would you save him? Let one who plead for him be put to death by morning. If he is a god, let him plead for himself, because his altar has been torn down. Therefore, on that day, he called him Jerubal, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he has torn down his altar. Then all the Midianites, Amalekites, and the people of the east gathered together, and they crossed over and camped in the valley of Jezreel. Now, Jezreel is where Jezebel was born. And she was a servant of Baal. So was Ahab. Oh, hallelujah. Now, Gideon destroys the altar, right, of Baal. And he took the bull and, right, and he destroyed everything, didn't he? Why? Because they remarry back to the Lord. Does everybody understand that? And as a matter of fact, you're going to find that many times Israel was taken out of position. In fact, if you think about it and you follow the scriptures, even when Israel was taken out of Egypt, right? Remember Moses went on vacation for 40 days? Hello? When he came down, what were they doing? I mean, they took all the gold and silver and everything. What were they doing? They built a calf onto who? Baal. Hello? Because they always had to have something in front to see. You know why? Because they didn't have sight. You know what gives you sight? Faith. Faith gives you sight. Oh, hallelujah. We did that in the last teaching, I think. Is everybody all right? Go to Judges 8. Verse 24. So Gideon kicked butt on the devil. And verse 24. Now they wanted Gideon to rule and everything. He said, no, I'm not going to do that. And then Gideon said to him, I would like to make a request of you, though, that each of you would give me the earrings from his plunder, for they had golden earrings because they were Ishmaelites. So they answered, we will gladly give them. And they spread out a garment, and each man threw into it earrings from his plunder. Now the weight of the gold earrings that he requested was 1,700 shekels of gold, besides a crescent ornaments, pendants, and purple robes which were on the kings of Midian, and besides the chains that were around their camels' necks. Even the camels dressed good then. For the kings, you know. They probably wore those big, you know, chain, gold chains. You know, those real big, thick ones. Big crosses, you know. Don't even know God, you know, but they... Hallelujah. We won't go there yet. Hallelujah. And verse 27, then Gideon made it into an ephod and set it up in his city, Ophrah. And all Israel played the harlot with it there. So here's Gideon. Now check this out. He goes, he busts down the altars. He does all of this stuff, reestablishes Israel back to God. And then he becomes a stumbling block and makes himself a statue. Hello. I wonder who told him that. And it became a snare to Gideon into his house. Thus, Midian was subdued before the children of Israel so that they lifted their heads no more, and the country was quiet for 40 years in the days of Gideon. Oh, hallelujah. Let's go a little further. Then Jerubbaal, the son of Joaz, went and dwelt in his own house. Gideon had 70 sons. How many? Who were his own offspring. He had many wives, and his concubine, who was in Shechem, also bore him a son, whose name he called Amalek. Man, that guy must have stayed busy with 70 sons. How did he have time for war? Now Gideon, the son of Joaz, died at a good old age and was buried in the tomb of Joaz, his father, in Ophrah of the Abizites. So it was as soon as Gideon was dead that the children of Israel again played the harlot with the Baals and made Baal-Berath their god. Thus the children of Israel did not remember the Lord their God, who had delivered them from the hands of all their enemies on every side, nor did they show kindness to the house of Jerubbaal, Gideon, in accordance with the good he had done for Israel. So they played the harlot again, didn't they? They kept going back, you know, because they kept going under the world system. Does everybody understand that? When we come back under the world system, we come back under Baal. Do you understand? See, you and I have been delivered from the world system, haven't we? We're not according. The government. The government. We're no longer supported by the government, are we? Amen. Our support comes from the throne room of God. We do not rely on the government to grant us anything because they don't know anything anyways. Amen. But our hope and our strength is from the Lord, not in the government. Oh, hallelujah. Now, let's go to another place. Now, I want you to know something else before I go forward. Go to 1 Kings 18. Gideon ended up losing all of his sons. They killed all 70. Hello? The only one that made it was the one that wasn't of his, was from somewhere else. But all 70 died. So no one could take his throne, could they? Amen? Oh, we'll go there another time. But turn to 1 Kings 18. Is everybody there? Praise you, Lord. 1 Kings 18. How many of y'all remember Elijah? In verse 18, and he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, and that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals. Now therefore, send and gather all Israel to me on Mount Carmel, the 450 prophets of Baal, and the 450 prophets of Asherah, who eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you flatter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. Then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Therefore, let them give us two bulls and let them choose one bull for themselves, cut in pieces and lay it on the wood. But put no fire under it, And I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood and put no fire under it. Then you will call in the name of your gods, and I will call in the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. So all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bull for yourselves and prepare it first, for you are many. And call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it. So they took the bull which was given to them, and they prepared it and called on the name of Baal from morning even till noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, no one answered. Then they leaped about the altar which they had made. And it was at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is meditating, or he is busy, or he is on the throne. Or he's on a journey. Or perhaps he is sleeping and must be awakened. So they cried aloud and they did what? Cut themselves. Did you ever get around anybody who cuts himself? They're demonized. They have demons. People who cut themselves. When I was in the world, I had no idea. There was this girl I knew. Man, she'd always pick herself. I thought, man, she must have some kind of disease. She did. It was called demonization. So they cried aloud, cut themselves as their custom with knives and lances until the blood gushed out on them. And when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, but there was no answer. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, come near me. So all the people came near him, and he prepared the altar and the Lord was that the Lord had was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord and made a trench around an altar, around the altar large enough to hold 2 heaves of seed. And he put the wood in order, cut the bowls in pieces and laid it on the wood and said, fill 4 water pots with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. So the water ran all around the altar. And he was also filled the trenches with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering and evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust. And it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, you betcha. And they said, Lord, he is God. Lord, he is God. And Elijah said to them, seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape. So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook of Kishon and executed them all. So he just got done killing 450 prophets, right? Is everybody with me? Well, he wasn't done yet. Now, there was one thing that Elijah didn't do yet. He was on his way to go do it, but he got interfered with. And I want to bring you to this area of scripture. If you'll turn to, let's see. Let's just stay right here. In verse 41, then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat, and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. Sound of what? Rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees, and he said to his servants, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up, and he looked and said, there is nothing. And 7 times he said, go again. He didn't quit, did he? Then it came to pass the 7th time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's fist rising up out of the sea. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops. Before the rain stops you. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind. And there was a heavy rain. Now you got to remember, they were in famine for 7 years. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Who lived in Jezreel? Jezebel. And who was she a servant of? Baal. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah and girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of where? Jezreel. What was he going there for? To kill Jezebel. Do y'all get this? Why? Because he wanted to complete. Now look at what, this is what happened. Now we know that in verse 19, Ahab told Jezebel, right? That Elijah, what he had done and everything. In verse 2, and then it says, then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, let the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Now look at verse 3. This is powerful because it says, when he what? Now wait a minute. When he what? Now wait a minute. Didn't a messenger come up and tell him? But what happened? He what? So he saw what he heard. The problem was is what who it was coming from was a demon. Y'all understand that? And when he accepted what that demon said to him, it moved him right off course. Here is a man that just got done killing all these prophets. Just called fire down from heaven. He was getting ready to go complete his mission and kill Jezebel. And then the demon came, the messenger, and spoke to him. He saw it, and fear came on him, didn't he? And you know what? He did not complete his mission. Are you hearing this? Are you all right? And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. He said, man, I'm done. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might what? Die. And said, it's enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. Man, did the devil mess with him, didn't he? That's called mixed anointing, isn't it? Amen. So it doesn't matter who you are, where you've been. If you accept what the devil tells you, you'll get moved out of position. I don't care if you just called fire from heaven the next day or that afternoon. That night, you can get moved right out of position, can't you? Amen. And not fulfill and complete what God shared with you to do. Is everybody with me? Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Go to 2 Kings 9. Now, because he didn't complete that, you know what happened to Israel? They went back into bondage again. And servants under Baal. And it continues and continues and continues. In 2 Kings 9. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody all right? Are you getting this? In verse 30. Now when Jehu had come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it. In verse 30. 2 Kings 9:30. And she put paint on her eyes and adorned her head and looked through a window. Then Jehu entered in at the gate. She said, is it peace, Zamar, murderer of your master? And he looked up at the window and he said, who is on my side? Who? So two or three eunuchs looked out at him. Then he said, throw her down. So they threw her down, and some of her blood spattered on the wall and on the horses, and he trampled her underfoot. And when he had gone in, he ate and drank. He didn't care. And he said, go now, see to this accursed woman, and bury her, for she was a king's daughter. So they went to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. Therefore they came back and told him. And he said, this is the word of the Lord, which he spoke by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, on the plot of ground at Jezreel, dogs shall eat the flesh of Jezebel, and the corpse of Jezebel shall be as refuse on the surface of the field in the plot of Jezreel, so that they shall not say, here lies Jezebel. So we see that prophetically, it was fulfilled that she would die, prophesied by Elijah. Does everybody understand that? Amen? So we see here that somebody else had to come and finish what Elijah was supposed to do. So everybody got this? And that's what we don't want to happen with me and you. We want to be able to finish what God has told us to do. To be carried on, not to be catching up. Amen? Because there's too much stuff being caught up instead of being carried on. Too many people are getting too lazy and coming under the servant of Baal. And then people have to catch up and do what you didn't finish. And God says, that's enough. And it's time to keep motivated and go on. Amen? It's time to what? Go on. Oh, hallelujah. Let's go to Numbers 25. I'm sharing some of these things so that we really get an understanding in the importance of breaking the cycle and the importance of completing what God has asked us to complete. You know, we don't realize how dangerous it is because it not only affects us, but it affects our family. Amen? And in Numbers, where did I say to go? 25? Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Numbers 25 and verse, starting at verse 1. And it came to pass after the plague that the Lord God spoke to Moses and Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saying, take a census. Oh, I'm in 26. Sorry about that. Well, let's try 25. You guys are going like, where is he? So was I. I was like, where am I? Now Israel remained in Acacia Grove, and the people began to commit harlotry with the woman of Moab. They invited the people to sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel was joined to Baal of Peor, and the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel. Here we go again. And the Lord said to Moses, take all the leaders of the people and hang the offenders before the Lord. Out in the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may turn away from Israel. So Moses said to the judges of Israel, every one of you kill his men who were joined to Baal of Peor. And indeed, one of the children of Israel came and presented to his brethren a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Now when Phinehas, Phinehas, whatever, of the Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent, thrust both of them through the man of Israel and the woman through her body, so the plague was stopped among the children of Israel. See, so it took somebody to finish it. Amen? And those who died in the plague were 24,000. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron of the priest, has turned back my wrath from the children of Israel, because he was what? Because he was what? Because he was what? Could you say that one more time? He was what? Because he was zealous. Because he was what? Zealous. With my zeal among them, so that I did not consume the children of Israel in my zeal. Oh, hallelujah. Because he was what? Zealous. Praise God. Therefore, behold, I give to him my what? Covenant of peace, and it shall be to him and his descendants after him a covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was what? Zealous for his God and made an atonement for the children of Israel. Remember, we talked a little bit about being zealous for the Lord. I think it was one Saturday morning. And being zealous for the Lord is what's going to assist you to get through. Amen? Israel joined themselves with Baal, and the wrath of God came upon them, and the son of Aaron killed the last people of the plague because of his zealousness to complete. He had an anointing called breakthrough. Does everybody understand that? He had a what? A breakthrough anointing. See, a breakthrough anointing is a military movement. It means to go through and beyond. In other words, you are going to complete what you're supposed to do. You're not going to turn it over for somebody else to complete it. You're going to. You're going to go through and beyond. We need holy zeal and a breakthrough anointing to cross over. Must break old things in our lives to get into the new. Is everybody with me? We will not cross over, because that's what we're talking about, crossing over. Crossing over what? To the promised land. Crossing over to where the place is socking, swabbing, filling, overflowing with milk and honey, with the blessings of the Lord. There is a crossing over right now that we are going into. We are completing the 7 years we got till September. Amen? To break all of this stuff off and go across to the promised land. Go to Judges 1. I'm going to show you the three high places of Baal. There are three areas or high places Baal causes. Things that he caused. Now, we just read about some of these things where, you know, what were they doing? They were adultery and fornication and sacrifices. I mean, they were even letting their kids walk. They were sacrificing their own children and burning them. You know, when you begin to look at that, out of ignorance, think of what the word says. It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and because you've rejected my knowledge, I will reject you from being priests, and because you've forsaken the law of my God, I will what? Forget your children. Isn't it the same thing as sacrificing them? Amen. Do you know how many of our ancestors have sacrificed? I mean, our parents have sacrificed their own children without even knowing it. Because of ignorance. Because my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Thank God he's faithful. Thank God somebody was praying for us. Hallelujah. In verse 1 it says, now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, who shall be first to go up for us against the Canaanites and fight against them? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Indeed, I have delivered the land into his hand. So Judah said to Simeon, his brother, come up with me to my allotted territory that we might fight against the Canaanites, and I will likewise go with you to your allotted territory. And Simeon went with him. Then Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the pesticides and into their hand, and they killed 10,000 men of Bezek. And they found Adina Bezek in Bezek and fought against him, and they defeated the Canaanites and Perizzites. And Adon Bezek said, 70 kings with their thumbs and big toes cut off used to gather scraps under my table. As I have done, so God has repaid me. Then they brought him to Jerusalem, and there he died. Now the children of Judah fought against Jerusalem and took it. They struck it with the edge of the sword and set the city on fire. I want to go to verse 27. However, Manasseh did not drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shean and its villages. Now, I want to show you that these tribes where Israel did not remove their enemies completely, where then it was taken over again. Does everybody see this? Look at it in verse 27. Read it with me. However, Manasseh did not drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shean and its villages. Okay. Go to verse 28. And it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put Canaanites under tribute, but did not what? Completely drive them out. They stopped. Go to verse 29. Nor did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites who dwelt in Gezer. Go to 30. Nor did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kintra. Go to 31. Nor did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Echo. Right? Go to 32. So the Asherites dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, for they did what? They did not drive them out. 33. Nor did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shechem. 34. And the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountains, which was the promised children. Because they didn't drive them out, they forced them into where? The mountains, for they would not allow them to come down to the valley. And the Amorites determined to dwell in the Mount Heres, And you can see constantly that they did not completely drive them out. Now go to chapter 2 and verse 1. Then the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I led you up from Egypt and brought you to the land of which I swore to your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall tear down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Therefore I also said, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall be thorns in your side, and their God shall be a snare to you. So it was when the angel of the Lord spoke these words to all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voices and wept. Then they called on the name that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there to the Lord. And when Joshua had dismissed the people, the children of Israel went to each one's own inheritance to possess the land. Now look in verse 11. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord in what? Served the Baals, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they followed other gods from among the gods of the people, who were all around them, and they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. The anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, so he delivered them into the hands of the plunderers, who despoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies all around, so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. Wherever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for calamity, as the Lord said, and as the Lord has sworn to them, and they were greatly distressed. And I wanted to emphasize enough of this just to share with you the importance of finishing what God has asked you to do. See, it's our responsibility to drive out the powers of darkness. It's our responsibility to drive them out of our house and our families. Do y'all understand this? It's our responsibility. Too many people are calling on God, and God is calling on you.
Oh, Lord.
He's saying,
hello?
Why aren't you using what I gave you? Why aren't you driving them out? Now, did the Lord drive them out, or did he use his people to drive them out? When the Lord delivered Israel out of the bondage of Egypt, who did he use? Moses. Do y'all understand? We've got to come out of this mentality that we're constantly calling on the Lord when the Lord is calling on you. Oh, Lord, deliver me. Oh, Lord, do this for me. Oh, Lord, do that for me. He's saying, listen, use what you've got. When you are faithful, see, it's our responsibility to drive out. Does everybody understand that? And to complete. Why? So we can break this cycle. Now, you got to look at these places. Look what Baal caused. He caused separation of church and state. Hello? Shouldn't be separation of church and state. In fact, the church is supposed to rule. Does everybody got it? He isolated and caused division in the body of Christ. Because of the worship of Baal. Compromise, seduction, adultery, and immorality. So everybody got it. Those things are not only in the church, they're in this country. Tremendously. In 1967, it was called the Summer of Love. It was a 40-year cycle. We are now 2007, right? It's 40 years from 1967. Do you remember how things changed? Remember when the Beatles came around? Amen. And everything was flower children and everything was love. It was a false sense. I mean, everybody loved each other that they were willing to sleep with each other. Because it was a beginning, it was a worship of Baal. Then it's when a prayer came out of schools. From that point on in 1967, everything changed in this country tremendously. It was a 40-year cycle. And this year is 777, which we're able to break this cycle. Yesterday, this country and people in Nashville, all sorts of denominations and all sorts of cultures and so forth, got together and they began to repent for this country and divorce Baal from this country. That's what 777 was about. And they began to repent and break the curse and break and divorce Baal and prayed back. I mean, even the senators there that were repenting and how what their government and the offices were doing. It was powerful. And this was all in Nashville. But the prophets were in Florida. See, Florida when you look at the nation, Florida is east, right? And the tabernacle of God begins in the east. Florida was actually one of the main places of Baal. In fact, there are still altars here in this state of Baal. It's known as the Sunshine State, right? It was the worship of the sun. And yesterday, people were interceding and breaking all kinds of things off, breaking cycles off of their life and so forth. The last prophetic conference I went to, they spoke of Florida as a place of beginning. And they believe that Florida is going to be the place where many revivals are going to begin and all kinds of stuff. This is the place. You are here right now, specifically being trained up to not only break things off, but to be an expression of God and rescue. I remember when the Lord said to me, he said, Guy, I can touch the world through Florida. He told Benny Hinn that same thing. He could touch the world through Florida. And God has moved that man to touch the world, and it was here in Florida where it began to happen. Amen? In fact, we are in 2007, right? But if you really think about it, that period of time, how things changed in this country tremendously. TV shows began to change. I mean, now you got pornography right on TV. Look how things have gotten worse, haven't they? They haven't gotten any better. In that period of time of 2000, around there, it was called the beginning of wars. It was a 7-year famine. And the purpose that we need to break all of this stuff on is so that the mantle could be passed on. Are you understanding this? So we can't look back and we can't allow regret to stop us from going forward. Amen. If you're involved in regret, you need to break that off and repent. You can't regret anything now. What's done is done. If you're involved in regret in your life, you need to repent for it, because that's nothing but the voice of the stranger bringing in, and that's going to stop the flow in your life. And it's going to prevent you from allowing to break that 40-year cycle. Are you with me? We must state our claim, break the cycle, so we can get the crown of favor. How many of y'all want the crown of favor? Amen? Now listen, in Hebrew, the year that we're in right now is called 5767. And the Hebrew meaning of this year is called the year of the sword. And the word Hebrew actually means crossing over. So we are in the year of the sword and the crossing over. Are you with me? Amen? I want to go to a couple more scriptures just to complete this. Go to 2 Kings 8 and verse 1. Then Elijah spoke to the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, Arise and go, you and your household, and stay wherever you can, for the Lord has called for a what? Famine, and furthermore, it will come upon the land for how many years? 7 years. So the woman arose and did according to the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household and dwelt in the land of the Philistines 7 years. And it came to pass at the end of 7 years that the woman returned from the land of the Philistines, and she went to make an appeal to the king for her house and for her land. So she went to the king because there was famine in 7 years, and she had lost everything. Then the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, Tell me, please, all the great things Elisha has done. Now what happened is, she was telling the king how he had restored the dead to life, and there was the woman whose son he had restored to life, appealing to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, My lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son, whom Elisha restored to life. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed a certain officer for her, saying, Restore, everybody read this with me. Restore all that was hers and all the proceeds of the field from the day that she left the land until now. And that's what God is going to do with us. Do y'all get this? going to restore it all. We are at the 7 years is up. We've got till September and to break these cycles. We are going into the promised land where there is prosperity. We are entering in the powers of darkness arenas where we are going to begin to take what is rightfully ours. Are you understanding this? It is the time and it is the season for restoration. Now, the Bible says that it was taken by what? Force. That means we got to what? We got to fight. We got to what? Fight. Go to 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. It says, do not be unequally yoked together with what? Unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Belial is also associated with Baal. Or what part is a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. And I will dwell with them and walk up. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us what? Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And we do that by breaking the cycle. Amen, and repenting of every area. I'm going to close at 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 9. Come on, we're going to prophesy this and speak this in. Do you know that your words do not fall to the ground? They continue to go and go and go. Do you know that they'll go around the earth? They don't fall to the ground. They just continue to go. Looking for a place. Looking for a place to land. They continue to go. See, if you really realize and the power and the anointing that's within you because you are the temple of God, what you speak will come to pass according to the will. In other words, when the will of the Spirit and the will of the Word come in agreement, it produces the sword of the Spirit, doesn't it? Amen? That's why we must always be in the arena of willing to yield to the Spirit and willing to yield to the Word. And then things come to pass because the sword of the Spirit is manifested. Now, in 2 Kings in verse 9, would you read it with me? So it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what may I do for you before I am taken away from you. And Elijah said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. So he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. Then it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elijah saw it, and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. And he also took up the what? Mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him. And he what? Struck the water and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that way. And Elijah what? Crossed over. He what? He crossed over. With what? The mantle. Amen? Well, the mantle is being transferred onto us now. Does everybody understand this? But one of the things we cannot do is look back. The 40-year cycle is here to be broken, never to go back. September starts the new year. We've got till September to clean up and finish up everything that's supposed to be done, or we'll fall back into that 40-year cycle, and bondage will still be there. Are you hearing this? It is important. This was the prophetic word that was being spoken, and this is what's being brought to the churches. Amen. Why? Because the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous, and it's time that God's kingdom is going to penetrate the kingdom of darkness and begin to tear down the altars of Baal. So we must complete. We must finish. We cannot get moved out of position. We cannot associate with the voice of the stranger. And we must be careful of what we listen to. Amen? We must be careful of what we listen to. Now, we prepare our hearts for communion this morning. And by preparing our hearts for communion, I'd like to break the cycle. Amen? So I want everybody to stand. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We give you glory. We give you honor and praise. Come on, just thank Him. Just begin to thank Him. Tell Him you're willing to finish it through. Tell Him you're willing to move out and push out and drive out all the powers of darkness in your life and in your family's life. Tell Him you're willing to do it. Lord, we thank You. We thank You, Lord. And not only thank You for Your word, but Lord, we just take authority right now and we command every foul, unclean, seducing spirit that has infiltrated, inherited from our ancestors, things that we've allowed to happen in our life. Lord, in that cycle that has been brought forth, that's been brought before us now, Lord, we not only repent for every area of our lives of sin, transgression, and iniquities, but we repent for our forefathers and ancestors. We repent for our children. We repent, Lord. We forgive and bless, but we hold no resentment, no unforgiveness, and no judgments towards anyone. We sever them and commit them into Your hands, and we break that cycle, that life cycle right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And we grab hold of the double portion. We grab hold of the mantle that's being placed on us, Lord, that we may go forward and drive out all the powers of darkness and take back the land that is rightfully Yours, Lord, that has been granted to us to dwell in safety in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we call forth from the north, south, east, and west, and we ask that You dispatch Your angels on our behalf, even right now. And we command the powers of darkness to let loose, to return the silver, the gold, to return all those things that have been stolen from us in the mighty name of Jesus, sevenfold in Jesus' mighty name. Now we sever every power of darkness been attached to any one of these things in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we repent for not taking our dominion. We repent for not completing jobs You've told us to do and assignments, Lord. We repent for not driving out the powers of darkness and allowing them to drive us out. But Lord, from this day forth, we stand strong. And I pray over each and every one here today, Lord, that the anointing and the power, that breakthrough anointing would fill them and establish them and perfect them. Lord, that breakthrough anointing would give them such zeal. Because even You said that the zeal of the Lord will complete this, that will accomplish it. Lord, I pray for the zeal and the fire of God to be in each and every one, to burn them up and start them afresh, to burn out all the garbage of the old and prepare everything brand new. Everything brand new in the way they see, in the way they hear, and the way they receive, and the way they talk in every area, Lord, let there be established a brand newness, totally new, because we are new creation in Christ, and old things have passed away, and all things have become new. Right now, that cycle is broke. We're no longer bound to the 40-year life cycle, but we walk in a brand new cycle of life where dominion and power and authority has been granted to us, where boldness and character and divine nature, healing, resurrection, power, and the throne of God has been released to each and every one here in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, we complete what You have started in us to finish the call. We are willing to finish the call. And as we commune with You right now, Master, we ask You to fill us with that breakthrough anointing, with the zeal and boldness in Jesus' name.